All right, good morning. Welcome to Brazoria Drainage District Number 4 Board of Commissioners meeting on this October 6th at approximately 9 a.m. We always begin our meeting with an invocation, which will be led by Commissioner Keller. Our pledge will be led by Commissioner Rogers, so please rise and join us. We'll begin our meeting.
I am a Christian, and I pray to the triune God. I do not believe in proselytization. If you choose to pray in some way other than I pray to a triune God, please feel free to do so. That having been said, our Heavenly Father, we are indeed grateful for your gracious healing powers, for the healing, apparent healing of our president and his wife. We're thankful, Lord, for those who are being healed even as we speak. May there be more healing. May there be less exposure. Father, rise our nation above such attitudes as we're seeing in the press of those who wish bad things for our the head of our country. Father, we pray that they indeed be healed and find a brighter light with thee. Father, we pray for the Gold Star families. We pray for a healing for them. And we pray, Father, for those who serve us in a first responder position of all types. We thank you, Lord, for the many blessings that you give us, and we pray for the forgiveness of our sins in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
Join me in our pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you very much. Move on to item 2 for public comments. I have a request from Debbie Ashley to address the board. Is Ashley on the line? Okay. I'll ask one more time. Is Ms. Debbie Ashley on the line to discuss this, speak to the board? Okay. We will move on. Moving on to item 3, the approval of minutes. Make a motion we approve the regular meeting of September 1st, 2020, and our public hearing meeting of September 1st, 2020. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Motion been made and seconded. Any comments, questions, or concerns?
Without exception.
Hearing none, all in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Item 4 is the approval of checks for the expenses for October and November 2020. Make a motion we approve checks numbers 38752 through 38823. Is there a second?
Second.
Motion made and seconded. Any comments, questions, or concerns? Hearing none, all in favor indicate by saying aye.
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 Hey, Jim.
Yes.
You got to do the public hearing also.
You did. Well, we combined them.
Oh, okay.
We combined them. Okay, moving on to item 5, new business. Discuss consideration of possible action to receive a delinquent collection report for Purdue, Brandon, Fielder, Collins, and Mott. Mike Darlow, welcome.
Okay. If you do it here, if you walk up, it's the worst
thing. You can come on up.
Okay. Yeah,
you want to approve. Oh, there I am. Go
ahead and approach the change. Yeah, approach the change, Good morning. Good to see everybody. I appreciate a few minutes of your time to discuss this, and then I'm happy to stay and discuss the next item that you have there as well. I've sent you the normal pie charts and graphs. As you can imagine, this year has been quite unique relative to the COVID pandemic and how it required us to sort of change our collection approach for many months of this year. I'm happy to say that probably since about
June, July.
From our perspective, we've been back doing what we need to do in terms of contacting taxpayers, sending out letters, filing lawsuits, having tax sales, all our normal activity is back. Obviously, to the extent that anybody that we've been interacting with explained to us that they had issues relative to COVID and needed additional time to pay, we work with taxpayers on that, just as we would with other situations that people would have that prohibit their ability to pay. We have several things going on right now involving the district, and the interesting thing is the growth that you've experienced, proportionately, we see a little bit of it in what goes delinquent. We have right now on our roll, because you've got, there's $306,000 in base taxes due when you prepare this report last month. You can see in terms of the primary categories, our action pending, which is the purple piece of the pie, is generally made up of new 2019 taxes that were left to us to collect. You can see in our deferrals, the red portion, those are people that are over 65 that have deferred the payment of their taxes, but we don't take any action against them other than to check to make sure that they're still entitled to the deferral that they've gotten. In the past year, since I met with you last, we had some property that came off of the deferral. We had one where it got paid, we had another that we had to proceed with a lawsuit, and we have actually a tax sale today, this morning, on a piece of property that had been deferred for many years. And the family that inherited it from the mom that got that deferral doesn't want the property. And so it's going up for sale today. For those of you that sign up on our resale list, our tax sale list, you may have already seen it. It's Sherwood Subdivision. And this is a situation where having a deferral for a long time can create a problem in the ability to then get the taxes paid because the taxes exceed the value of the property. So right now the property is only valued at $85,000. The taxes are like over $100,000 when you add in the school, city, county, everybody to it. So today we'll see whether it sells for the value or not. If it does, fantastic. If it doesn't, then it'll go into tax trust, and then we'll attempt to resell that property. So I just wanted to sort of point out that things do come out of that deferral from time to time that you see there. Right now, that particular case is part of our litigation that we have for you. And also note for you finally on this chart that the bankruptcy portion, which is the blue, it's 2%. That number only includes taxes through 2019. So when anybody in 2020 filed for bankruptcy, we've been filing claims on behalf of the district and the other entity. So let's use Penny's as an example to file for bankruptcy. So they had paid their 2019 tax, but for 2020, they hadn't paid it yet. Obviously, the bills are just coming out. And so we filed a claim for that. And we have several other companies that have filed, as you all know, as you read every day, some national chains and whatnot that are in bankruptcy that we're filing claims for. And the trick isn't going to be the collection of your 2019 tax. If you look, maybe I don't know if I can give you the flip about, keep going, about eight slides. Probably the last slide. And I know I'm taking a couple minutes more than I normally do, Jeff, so I want to make a point for y'all. There we go. So for 2019 tax year, you levied over $17 million last October. And there's always pluses and minuses on the roll as you go through the year with different appraisal adjustments. The end of June of 2020, you had collected all but $194,000. So you had pretty well funded all the activities that you were planning on. So that 1% is all you had left. Now, 2020, you're going to bill, I don't know what the total amount of taxes you're going to levy this year will end up, because I know you've had new growth and whatnot. But the trick, the interesting point will be to see as you move through that election cycle, does this COVID impact your revenues that you were projecting? Now, nobody knows. Total speculation of where you're going to be. I don't think it's any that is crippling because there's still tremendous activity in the county that you guys are well aware of. But it's just sort of an interesting thing that we're going to be keeping our eye on for 2020. So let me just flip back to the third pie chart real quick. There you go. That's our year by year. And you can see how the money that's owed is broken out. The largest single year is 2019, the green portion of the pie chart. And then you can see what it is for 18 in each prior year. Group. So it's distributed pretty evenly. Half of your money in the last 2 years, which if you went back and looked at all the other wonderful graphs I give you every year, you'll see a pretty similar breakdown. And we work hard to do that, to make sure that we don't get on the wrong side. You know, you work with people, but at the same time, you can't ignore it because you wake up one day and you're in a bad position to get taxes actually collected. And then finally, I'll wrap up and just tell you that I've given you all the graphs showing our historical collections for the last several years. Everything has really pretty much been on track. We had a couple other properties that were scheduled for sale today that have been that involved the district that were canceled because the property owner paid it. And we have a couple that are still scheduled for sale today that involved the district. We'll see what happens. So that's a quick update on everything that's going on. I'd be happy to answer any questions that you all may have.
Go ahead, Ben. This is the first time I remember that the board has had a situation like you described a couple of minutes ago, the deferment of taxes, to a point where the value of the property was less than the accumulated taxes. I know of another such deferment that is going on like Cunningham, not too far from here, just been set up on deferment for a long, long time. Probably is going to wind up the same way. Having nothing to do with that, tell us something about how this happens or what the process is when it winds up in trust.
So after if we foreclose on it, and
yes,
we want to resell it, sure. In fact, we had a situation that took us over a year to move to the Green Tea in the Harris County portion of Green Tea, where we foreclosed on it, we had it in trust. Because it's a structure, we generally try to take possession of it because you don't want somebody, living on your property if it's been foreclosed. Oftentimes, the property's vacant. So once it's in tax trust, then our job is to try to resell it. We post it on our list. Tax office has it on their list. And there are people that are always looking for the enclosed deals. If we get an offer, we would process it through the resale committee at the county tax office. If it's approved by that committee, it would come to the various entities for your approval if it's less than 100% of what's owed. Or we can do another method, which is a public resale, where we set a minimum price and have the sheriff do a second sale of that property in an open forum where anybody can bid on it, just like today, back to the goal is to try to get it back on the tax roll. The price is somewhat dependent upon the condition of the property. What is the value? What's going on in the neighborhood? The one that we had over at Green Tea, we weren't able to get 100% of what was owed because the property had flood damage, some hurricane damage. We knew that anybody that bought it was going to have to spend more money to get it up to speed. Its value had actually appreciated over time. It was odd that it's gone up, but that was what was going on at the table. So there's a variety of factors that come into play, but our goal, if it gets to the trial, is to try to get it out of trust as reasonably soon as we can. Then it gets back paying taxes. I'll be answering your question.
Yeah, thanks. We got a question.
I was going to blame you for just your oxing last year's charge, but I see one difference here is that there's a slice now that says in bad address, where last year we didn't see that. So that's something new that you're tracking now?
Well, we've been tracking it, but it had never risen to a level that it got its own little piece of the pie.
Okay.
Part of that deals with business personal property accounts that, you know, were there and then gone, and trying to find the good address for them. It's not as much on real estate, although on occasion we do have real estate accounts fit in that category. You know, but the challenge that we've always had, you know, not the challenge we've always had, part of the growth that we've had is the businesses that have come in that are more single mom and pop type of deals. If they make it, great, they're there, you can go visit them. But if they're there and they close, then you're sort of tracking down where did they go. And so that sort of adds to our bad address list. But we categorize it because it's not just easily collected.
Yeah, I see action pending's up a couple percent. The others are all real close to the same as last year. Matter of fact, in deferral, dollar amount is exactly the same as it was last year. So, okay.
And remember, you guys have added a lot of value. Proportionately, you're collecting the same percentage of tax. I mean, 99% on your current year by June of 2020 is stout. I mean, that's, you can't get much better than 99%. So you've increased your dollars, but your percentage has stayed the same. So that's part of the reason that your action pending is up a bit. It's just because I know you like. So I just real quick, I will tell you that the largest account that we have that's in litigation that came out of a deferral owes you $4,200 and it's set for sale in December. They owe you more when you add penalty and interest. And then the largest account that we have that is not in a deferral, that is not in a lawsuit, or even a bankruptcy, I'm just eyeballing it. They owe you $1,683 of base tax. So I think it's, you know, we work through it pretty hard, so we can do our best to get it all collected.
In regards to COVID, Governor Abbott has not issued any executive order foregoing these taxes until later in 2020.
He hasn't forgiven. There's no foregoing of any tax.
No, I know, but I mean, has he pushed them or no collection?
The courts were closed for a while, so you couldn't take judgments, although we were back in court in May. Took judgments in Brazoria County. Public policy, if you will, or political consideration of how to deal with people really is what slowed us down when everything really started in March. There was an attempt to get a AG opinion about whether COVID fit under the definition of a disaster. And the Attorney General's office determined that it did not meet the definition. And so people weren't able to prolong the payment of their 19 taxes or even ask for their 20 taxes to be paid over a different period of time under the disaster declaration because COVID didn't fit the definition.
Okay.
Now, what are they going to do in 2021 when they go back in session on whatever? Beats me. Although I'll just tell you the aside, if you haven't heard it, the thought is that they're going to do very little in the legislature that they don't have to do. It's going to be closed to the public. The Brazoria County Day, all the days are going to be restricted if they even have them in the Capitol. I was told by somebody the other day that the Capitol has in essence been shut down since the start, but literally all the staff and everything. They're not going in, they're working out. So,
right. It's highly unlikely, though, in your experiences, and I'm sorry, that there's going to be any forgiveness of taxes in this state.
I'm not saying forgiveness, I'm just saying.
I would be shocked. I mean, you already have, if it's your homestead, you can get a payment plan.
Right.
You get all your exemptions you're entitled to.
It's structured so differently in Texas than it is in almost
every other state. You have to interest
right.
Between the legislature, city, and county government, you know, that you see every time. But they're hard pressed. They can't mess with the rate. You know, they already did last session, they tried to cap some stuff. But
right.
I'll say that with the caveat, you never know when they're in session what they're going to do. I mean, this one's weird. You know, they got redistricting. They're already talking that's going to be a special session. If they won't have it in time, do it during the regular session. That's a big issue. So they got to pass a budget. That's about all they got to do.
Thank you for your report.
Thank you.
I'll make a motion we received into the district records of the delinquent tax collection report from Purdue, Brandon, Field, and Collins Fox. Is there a second?
Second.
Motion been made. All in favor, indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. With an expression of gratitude, it did the usual very good job.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for your work, Mike. Item B is discussion, consideration, and possible action on the property tax resale committee of Brazoria County for the account number 6410-0066-000 for property held in trust within the district. I make a motion we deny this recommendation and that the Brazoria County Drainage District number 4 try to buy this property. Is there a second?
Second.
Being that it's along one of our ditches.
Second.
Motion made and seconded. Any comments, questions, concerns?
Without exception.
Hearing none, all in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Moving on to item C is discussion, consideration, possible action to accept and authorize the chairman to sign a contract with the auditing firm of McGrath & Company, PLLC, perform the annual financial audit and a single audit for the district fiscal year ending September 30, 2020. Inclusive in this motion is the $28,000 for the financial audit and $10,000 for the single audit. Motion made. Is there a second?
Second.
Made and seconded. Comments, questions, and concerns? Hearing none, all in favor indicate by saying aye. Item D is discussion, consideration, possible action to accept a 0.0956 acre drainage easement from Ronnie Smith on Cannon Ditch. Make a motion to approve. Is there a second?
Second.
Motion made and seconded. Any comments, questions, or concerns? This is along Cannon Ditch, and this will give us easement that we need access for to maintain this ditch.
That is correct, Commissioner. The two easements that are on the agenda today, the easement of Smith as well as the National Funding for Miles. These are areas of cannabis the district has historically not had easement on. This came to fruition with the new property owners purchasing the property, working with the district to figure out how the district could better maintain the ditches. Property owners have volunteered that this isn't easements that are required by plat. These are easements that the property owners have personally volunteered to assist the district with allowing improved maintenance along. So the district has partnered with the property owners to relocate an existing fence 20 foot off of the high bank in exchange for the easement dedication.
Do we have access from Highway 35 to this?
We do not.
We don't.
Actually, there's one other property owner that property at 35 that is not interested in any type of easement agreement or access to the district.
We
have no access on either side of the ditch?
Correct. Not from 35.
Sir?
Not from 35.
Not from 35. Do we have access to this property from, what is it? Abathis?
Yeah, Abbott Acres Road is in the rear of the property there.
All the way to this property?
Correct, yes, sir.
Thank you.
So all in favor of accepting the easement, indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Okay, item E is discussion consideration possible action to accept a 2.574 acre drainage easement from Travis and Shauna Bowell on Cannon Ditch. Make a motion we approve. Is there a second?
Second.
Motion been made and seconded. And this, from my understanding, ties into what we just approved.
Correct.
And again, are they requesting the same thing about moving fence and stuff like that?
Yes. Yeah, it's a relocation of the town. The previously approved easement actually fits into that little pipe piece that's sitting there. But it's very oddly tracted property, to say the least.
These two easements are contiguous.
Yeah, these two easements are contiguous.
Okay, does this little point as depicted out there, how far is that point from 35?
That point, I'm going to estimate, if I can't see it on there, a couple hundred feet. There's actually at that point where you see the call out, the call from Major Jager, who's kind of
yes.
your first round, that's actually a privately held track with a mobile home on it, and that's the property owner's not allowing district access.
And this is the one we just approved right here.
Right.
From that point, from that line right there to there. And then we're picking up all this. You see it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So all in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Moving on to item F, discuss consideration of possible action to authorize the superintendent to negotiate, make an offer, and sign all documents for the purchase of 0.227 acres of land located on Buckhole Ditch, north of Stevenson Road and west of Westfield Road, with a total price of $34,650 plus closing cost. Make a motion to approve. Is there a second?
Second.
Here, a second.
A second.
Okay, sorry. Okay, any other, does anybody have any questions?
So that price is for the two properties together.
Yeah.
Total.
Right.
Two properties, a total of 0.227 acres. Owned by the same.
Correct. Family. Yes, Commissioner, it is a single owner.
Item G is discuss consideration of possible action to to approve and authorize Chairman to sign an interlocal agreement with Brazoria County pertaining to maintenance assistance of certain detention ponds owned by Brazoria County within the boundaries of the district. Make a motion to approve. Is there a second?
Second.
Motion been made and seconded. Any comments, questions, or concerns? Hearing none. All in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
This document has been approved by our so-called attorney.
That is correct. Actually, she's done these allotment to Olson and Olson. They're defeated. The biggest contingency they say it is that there is liability insurance by both parties tomorrow. So that was a serious concern.
Moving on to item H, discuss consideration possible action to approve and authorize the chairman to sign an interlocal agreement with Brazoria County Conservation and Reclamation District number 3, Brazoria County Mud number 43 for the maintenance and repair of Cooper Ditch. Make a motion to approve. Second.
Second.
Motion been made and seconded. This district approved this ditch with the development of Del Bello Estates, correct?
Correct.
And the widening and everything like that. And the outfalls that are already there.
Correct.
Correct.
Okay. So
go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
So the map that we see here goes down to Highway 6. Is that the extent? That's not the extent of Cooper Ditch, but...
Correct. That's the extent of this parallel.
Okay, and I see one little section down there just north of Highway 6 a little open spot there that's not included. Do we have access across that too, or what?
We do currently maintain across it. There is not a written agreement of the handshake agreement that we are currently.
Okay, and did we sort out the designation of that?
Yes, sir, we did, and thank you for your attention to detail. There is a typo on this document itself where it refers to Cooper Ditch as E100. There's actually in our records, correct me if I'm wrong, Adrian, it's E102. So I would like to suggest that if the board sees fit to approve this document as to form, we will correct that typo before we actually sign.
Thank you.
Do we see further agreement being made on the northern part of Cooper Ditch is within Del Bello, or is that part of Del Bello also?
For the purposes of Del Bello, they've only had to improve the section of Cooper from Del Bello Boulevard going south. Whether or not other development east of Del Bello might trigger the need for a widened easement or improved ditch is yet to be determined. But this is the extent of improvements needed to make the Del Bello development work.
Okay. So the northern portion of the Cooper Ditch, did they grant any easement in there?
There's no existing easement on that section of ditch today.
I would note that this is for routine maintenance, which excludes the outfalls that are mentioned specifically too, but does say routine maintenance.
Right.
This is Robert Booth from LJ, the engineer for this project. Can y'all hear me?
Yes. May I ask who's speaking?
Engineer
yes.
for Del Bello.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'd just like to confirm what Jared has said. Currently, we've only developed on the south side. Our outfalls all come in just south of Del Bello Boulevard. We needed to widen this portion of Cooper Ditch to provide some extra detention. So that's why this area south of Del Bello Boulevard, all the way down to Highway 6, has been widened and improved. The area north of Del Bello Boulevard is not planned to be widened or improved by Del Bello or BC Mud 43. And that area, I just want to confirm, we're talking about that area is sheet flowing to the south and east towards Cooper Ditch. That area does not actually make it in directly into Cooper Ditch. There is a GCWA canal between the property of BC Mud 43 and Cooper Ditch.
I hear for a comment. Okay. All in favor of approving this interlocal agreement, indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Moving on to item 6, variance requests. I have none. Moving on to item 7, plats and plans. Make a motion on the following. Item A, Del Bello Lake, Section 5, BDD 4, number 19169, final drainage plan, LJ Engineering, south of Del Bello Boulevard between future Manville Parkway and State 288, west of Merritt Canal. Item B is Pearland Airport Industrial Park, Phase 2, BDD 4, number 20196, final drainage plan, Daniel Scott Engineering, LLC, north side of County Road 127, near Pearland Regional Airport. Item C is Orchard Park Lane, Phase 2, BDD 4, number 20167, final plat, LJ Engineering, west of State Highway 288, east of County Road 48, north of County Road 58. Item D is Del Bello Lake, Section 7, BDD 4, number 19171, final drainage plan, LJ Engineering, north of Del Bello Boulevard, between future Manville Parkway and State Highway 288, west of the American Canal. Item E is discussion consideration possible action. Amazing Grace Assembly of God, BDD 4, number 19192, final drainage plan, RP Partners Construction, 814 Palmetto Street. Item F is Dalton Investments Industrial Complex, BDD 4, number 20202, final plat, Daniel Scott Engineering, 4211 Chance Lane, south of State Highway 6 and west 288. Item G is Sedona Lake Plaza at County Road 101. The Manville Plaza revised, BDD 4 number 19199. Final drainage plan, Hikes Engineering LLC, Northwest intersection, County Road 101 and 94. Item H is Del Bello Lakes Addendum number 2, BDD 4 number 20190. Drainage impact analysis, LJ Engineering, Del Bello Lake subdivision located between State Highway 288 and Cooper Ditch, set along Del Bello Boulevard. Item I is Harvest Acres RV Park, BDD 4, number 20177, final drainage plan, Norex Engineering, northwest corner of County Road 130 and County Road 127, southeast corner of Pearland Regional Airport. Item J is Orchard Park Lane, Phase 1, street dedication, BDD 4, number 20128, final plat, LJ Engineering, west of State Highway 288, east of County Road 48, north of County Road 58. Item K is Cedar Creek Lane, street dedication, BDD 4, number 19173, final drainage plan, LJ Engineering, north of Del Bello Boulevard, between future Manville Parkway and State Highway 288, west of the American Canal. Item L is the mansion on Southport, BDD 4, number 18152, final drainage plan, Trinity Bay Engineering, LLC, 2354, County Road 59, west of Kirby. Item M is Del Bello Lakes Reserve Detention and Drainage Facility, BD 4, number 19203, Final Drainage Plan, LJ Engineering, North of Del Bello Boulevard between Future Manville Parkway and State Highway 288. And item N is 4211 Chance Lane, BD 4, number 20201, Final Drainage Plan, Daniel Scott Engineering, LLC, 4211 Chance Lane, South State Highway 2. State Highway 6 and West 288. Motion been made. Is there a second?
Second.
Motion been made and seconded. Jared.
Good morning, Commissioners. Item 7A is Del Bello Section 5. This drainage plan is for proposed development within Del Bello. It's on the east side of 288 and north of Highway 6. Sheet 8 of the drainage plan shows that existing detention ponds will provide 19.2 acre feet of detention mitigation for the 29.53 acres of development. That's an effective rate of 0.65 acre feet per acre. Item 7B is the Pearland Airport Industrial Park. This is the final drainage plan. It's for commercial development located on County Road 127 across from Clover Field. Sheet 5 of that plan set shows that the detention pond will provide 1.96 acre feet of detention for 2.79 acres of development. That is an effective rate of 0.70 acre feet per acre. Item C is the plat for Orchard Park Lane Phase 2. There is no district facilities within or adjacent to the track, therefore no easements are required. Item D is going to be for Del Bello Section 7. This is the drainage plan for proposed single-family residential development on the east side of 288 and north of Del Bello Lakes Boulevard. This is also just north of the Keating Toyota site. Sheet 8 of the drainage plan shows that detention ponds in the development will provide 8.8 acre feet of detention for 13.54 acres of development. That's an effective rate of 0.65 acre feet per acre. Item E is for the Amazing Grace Assembly of God. This is for a proposed church located on the south side of Palmetto at the west Missouri County line. Sheet C 3.1 of the drainage plan shows that 0.4862 acre feet of detention will be provided for 0.748 acres of impervious cover. That is an effective rate of 0.65 acre feet per acre. Item F is for the industrial complex on 288. This is the partial replat number one or final plat for the development. No district facilities are within or adjacent to the development, therefore no easements are required. Item G is for shops at Sedona. You may recall that we looked at this in July and we approved the project. The MUD has subsequently asked for some very minor changes to the plan. There are no changes of substance with regard to drainage. We're recommending approval of this revised final drainage plan. Item H is for Del Bello South Point. This is the revised drainage impact analysis for the overall development. The report was revised to reflect minor changes in the culverts which connect the ponds. It still provides an effective rate of 0.86 acre feet per acre. The project also proposes to provide additional mitigation for fill placed within the floodplain. Item I is going to be for the Harvest Acres RV Park. This is the final drainage plan for proposed commercial development located on the west side of the intersection of County Road 127 and County Road 130. This is also near Clover Field. Sheet 11 of the drainage plan shows that the development will provide 5.98 acre feet of detention mitigation for 7.1 acres of development. That's an effective rate of 0.833 acre feet per acre. The next item, item J, is for the Pomona Orchard Park Lane Street Dedication Phase 1. This is a plat. You can see in the exhibit there's already an existing 300 foot drainage easement for Mustang on both sides of that. Therefore, no additional drainage easement is necessary. You can also see on the four corners of the exhibit We have earmarked locations for future access easements, which will be provided at the point where that adjacent acreage is platted. The next item is item K, that's for Cedar Creek Lane. This is within the Del Bello subdivision. This drainage plan is for a proposed street, which is located on the north side of Del Bello Lakes Boulevard and east of 288. This is also east of the Keating Toyota site. Sheet 8 of that plan shows that existing detention is provided within the development. The next item is going to be for the mansion at South Fork. You've seen this one before. This is a revised final drainage plan for the development. It's still commercial development located on the south side of County Road 58 and west of Kirby Drive. Sheet 2 of that drainage plan shows that 5.8 acre feet of detention will be provided for 8.92 acres of impervious cover. That is an effective rate of 0.65 acre feet per acre. Item M is for Del Bello Detention and Drainage Phase 2. This is for additional detention within the development. The project proposes detention mitigation in Del Bello for other future hard surface. The next item is going to be for item N, and that's 4211 Chance Lane. This is the final drainage plan. It's for proposed commercial development located on the west side of 288 and north side of Chance Lane. Sheet 5 of the drainage plan shows that the previously approved plans for constructed facilities provide detention for that site. If there are any questions, I'd be happy to answer those.
Harrison, do you have
anything? The Harvest Acres RV Park, I don't remember we talked about that before. Was that gravity flow or pump?
It's a pump detention pond. It's a 0.833 acre feet per acre rate. And also just got confirmation from Michelle that they paid their escrow payment for y'all's requirements.
Okay, that was the next question. Okay, so, yeah, I just want to say I appreciate Jared's attention to details. Three of these were the fourth submission to work things out, so that's good.
Dan, do you have any questions?
Yeah, on item I believe it was, there is a boundary shown. Yes. Is that the east or west boundary?
That's your east boundary, down by Cloverfield.
Huh.
This project's entirely within your district.
Since we're talking about item the Harvest Acres, is that pumping into 130 or 127?
It goes to the southeast. I mix those two streets up, but it goes to the side that Adrian's pointing to.
To 130, okay. And assume our staff will be monitoring this pond to make sure with the pump levels that it's set at that it will not be pumping out before the rain subside or the dishes subside.
Right, and they have the requisite flow switches and rain sensors and things like that integrated into the design.
On item L, the mansion, is this detention, will it be going, it's going to be going into County Road 58 now, is it 58 or 59?
59.
Well, you have 58 on there, okay. On the letter, but in regards to that, are they going to be able to tie into the road construction that's going to be placed out there?
Yeah, they've worked a deal with the county that includes a dredging of that roadside ditch, and they've
they're going to be putting storm sewer in it when they redo that.
Well, at some point in the future, yes, but in the interim, we're making them build to the fact that they have a roadside ditch to work with.
Okay. And this is not a pump pond. This is going to be gravity into the
gravity basin. Yes, sir.
And then on the Chance Lane plat and plan, is that they adding on to that development already there?
So that east-west street, if you'll go to the aerial, Adrian, on both sides of Chance Lane, north and south, there are two facilities at the east end of that development, which is the detention for that entire development. And it was basically developed as pad sites, if you will, for other future development. But all the detention mitigations at the east end.
Down towards 288.
Correct.
Okay. All right. All in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Approximately 9:51. We'll go ahead and call for adjournment.